Welcome to La Liga Weekly. These are glory days for Florentino Perez. With the long slog of La Liga out of the way, Real Madrid can focus on what really matters, Europe. With their weakened weekend team that lost to Atleti, it becomes ever more likely that last year's top four will be this year's top four. I think it's best for everybody that year that way. I think it would be great if La Liga matches were about as long as a TikTok video. So Barca are in the Champions League after Jordi Alba's wonder goal, but they have, it seems, lost out on signing Erling Haaland. Shock news, everybody. The club with the resources of a Middle Eastern oil state has outbid a club with an account balance that looks like the Grand Canyon. It's probably for the best. I'm not sure that getting Puyol and Olaguer out of retirement to play for free was that sound a long-term plan for the defence. Although the average age of a La Liga scorer this weekend did drop about 4 years when Ansu Fati got one. Of course, the real shady business is the secret campaign to keep Levante in La Liga. It was them all along, it turns out. 13 penalties this season. See the one they got this weekend? The ref is obviously running out of time. Our lawyers would like to point out that was a joke. We're not alleging that there is a conspiracy to keep Levante in the top division. There might be some slightly questionable refereeing going on in La Liga. Could improve. I think it could improve, would be a way of putting it. More than 30% of the goals in La Liga this weekend were scored in the Mallorca-Granada match. With our Patreon's betting service, we predicted a 6-2 away win for Aitor Carranca's men. So if you want to sign up for that, see, honestly, yeah, we did. Patreon.com/LTEL are all of the betting tips. Definitely. I think you said that. It might be a misremembering, Terry. I think you said to me, now that Aitor Carranca has arrived, Granada are bound to go to Mallorca and win 6-2.
And I predicted that the Jorge Molina would come on and score two and make two in less than half a game of football. Relegation, dogfight, battles, six-pointers, call them whatever you want. They're not meant to be like that. They're not meant to be a 6-2 away win for a team that's barely won a game away from home all season, that has struggled to win games in the last 3 or 4 months to score goals. That was the form we should expect from Granada if we're starting with this game. They have got good players. They shouldn't be down the bottom of the league. Third manager of the season. The game started off with Luis Suarez scoring early on, which kind of opened the floodgates for all the rest to happen. They're meant to be tense and full of anxiety, and a goal mouth scramble that wins a game 1-0 in that type of occasions.
Yeah.
You know, players have that fear of failure, they have that fear of losing. Whichever team lost this game is in real trouble. And yet, in the second half, complete capitulation by Mallorca, which must leave them in a very, very dark place. And Sevilla away next game, that's going to be tough. Sevilla are not done yet, they still need points to qualifying the top four. The top four, I agree with you, is going to be exactly as you said. Then they've got Rayo at home, which is a winnable game, but Rayo are going for it. They want to finish as high as possible and finish with Osasuna. So for Granada's, I've got all the stuff here. I worked on the programme at the weekend, and relegation dogfight is one that is part of the league that is of massive importance at the moment. It's where the main interest lies, and plenty of teams still left fighting their way out of trouble. But that's a awful result for Mallorca. And Javier Aguirre's manager, we don't ever see his team do that. But we have to say about Molina, it was remarkable.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about an impact sub, forget his age, any sub that comes on, scores two, makes two, in a tense game like that, so I completely open it up. Fantastic goals. I was asked a question about Iñaki Williams, why he doesn't score goals, he had four chances.
Yeah.
And my theory is he does everything fast. Everything is so at such a high tempo, in a rush. That when he gets a chance, that's a rush. And when you see Jorge Molina, the control, the turn, the accuracy on the finish, he doesn't do things in a rush because he can't rush. He's 40, for God's sake, and he's never been quick. But that little bit of composure that he shows when he's finishing, with his final pass, it's surprising at the age of 40 you can keep up with young men. I mean, Ansu Fati, we'll talk about his goal later, he's 21 years younger than Jorge Molina. 21 years. It's Jorge Molina, 10th goal, I think, of the season. So you're talking about Alexander Isak, Iñaki Williams, a whole host of strikers that have got nowhere near that amount. I mean, I'm sure we're going to be talking about Jorge Mil- 41-year-old Jorge Molina next season.
Yeah, it's incredible. There are some incredible. How, I was just like looking up how old is Salva Sevilla.
38,
right? Because he looked 38 when he was 22, didn't he?
It's just premature graying was the issue with Salva Sevilla. And late arriving to the top flight, Jorge Molina.
Yeah,
and they've thrived. Salva Sevilla's goal was the pick of the bunch in the 8 goals we saw in this game. But a truly remarkable game. As I say, those type of games, they're not meant to be like that. But thankfully, it was.
You've mentioned this before, how we have to reconsider what an old player is now. Because David Silva scored this weekend, didn't he? Iago Aspas scored a couple this weekend. Negredo scored this weekend. Salva Sevilla scored this weekend. Player of the weekend was Molina. It is incredible, isn't it? And it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because we tend to... We idolise the young players sometimes, don't we? We get very excited about the young players. And then, but sometimes you look at the actual performance, the old guys are still putting it in.
We had Ed Ruiz, didn't we? We played till he was 38 and actually had a hip replacement.
Yeah.
That tells you everything about.
Yeah.
that's the only thing that stopped him. So it is. I mean, I think we get excited about the young ones because we look forward to 10 years of Camavinga, Vinicius, Rodrigo, Gavi, Pedri, Ansu Fati, Nico. So we look ahead and think that's the new generation, that's the new wave coming through. And yet we still have Joaquin and Jorge Molina and Salva Sevilla and David Silva and players like that. That it just goes to show, if you're fortunate, if you're blessed with the fact that you haven't got chronic injuries, because that's the issue. Chronic, it's not just injuries, a chronic injury that never goes away, that keeps coming back, keeps returning, doesn't allow you to train on a regular basis, doesn't allow you to play enough games of football, then there's no value to you in staying on as a professional player, and there's no value in the club keeping you. But these players that we're talking about, there is value. They do play 30, 40 games a year. They do play and train on a regular basis, and somehow they don't have those chronic injuries. And I speak from experience. I had a number. I was 31 and had to retire from one injury. But prior to that, I had other injuries, other surgeries that never left me the same. And I was struggling to play, train throughout the week, play again, train, play midweek. It becomes chronic where your body doesn't recover. But these players show that, you know, if you're blessed with that, you can carry on.
Yeah.
It's remarkable. 40 years old, outfield player, 40 years old, scoring 10 goals in a season, being decisive, absolutely brilliant from Paul Gemmelin.
I mean, we'll get onto the actual stuff here to talk about. I do wonder sometimes, there's this thing about giving young kids, hours of training. You know, it was thankfully no one says 10,000 hours anymore. I think that's finally died a death, that ridiculous idea. But that, you know, that you've got to be doing thousands of hours of training. Sometimes you think, I don't know, these guys who did something else. It's because like, Adarice was, I know he was been around a long time, but he did something else as a kid, didn't he? He did something really endurance based as a kid. I just wonder whether sometimes, we might as well talk about Ansu Fati now, aren't we? You know, as we move on. So Barca 1-2-1, Ansu Fati scored, pile driver, I think, we'll dribbled into the bottom corner, but never mind. It's great to see him back. There's a real danger, isn't there, with Ansu Fati? Now he's back, that we start all over again. And we start, £200 million, Ansu Fati, 60 games next season, in you go, son.
Yeah,
you just, you know, you've got to be careful with him. Wonderful talent, great to see him back. Just still got to be. It's still a recovery process for him.
Yeah, and I think what we've got to remember with him is it was one bad injury that was dealt with badly. So I think he had three operations, and they botched it. Whoever did the operations, it didn't go well. It was a straightforward knee operation to start with that went wrong, and then got worse as it went on due to the surgeries. And then he was rushed back, and then he suffered, I think it was a pulled thigh muscle, which was a result of being rushed back and not, you know, because Barcelona at that time, I think he was injured in November. They were struggling. It was a toil for Barcelona. So they rushed him back. And hopefully this time, so we're not talking five or six different injuries. We're talking a knee injury where the surgery went wrong. and then one muscle injury because he was rushed back. So now the fact that he's playing 15, 20 minutes per game, then he'll have the summer. I'm not suggesting that he'll have the summer off, because I think it'd be one that it'd be foolish to do that. So he will train throughout the summer. I'm sure he'll have a period for a holiday. That's important still. And then pre-season, and then hopefully next season, he's at the stage where a 19-year-old, 20-year-old, which he will be by then, can play 30, 40 games a season. Not 60, not 70. World Cup, if he's fit, he'll go to that as well. So there is that element. And, you know, I'm sure Barcelona are going to have to manage it properly, because he's a superstar. I mean, it's his fourth goal of the season. He's barely played. He hasn't played fit yet. I mean, the only time he's played is when he's been recovering from a long layoff and finding his match fitness and his sharpness. But he has this incredible ability. The goal was, it trundled into the bottom of the goal, didn't it? It was the miss hit confused Rui Silva in goal. That was, he was expecting a more explosive finish, and he bobbled and bounced and wrong-footed him. But the movement prior to the goal and the two touches he had before the finish showed you the quality he has. And I talked about Iñaki Williams slowing down. His movement was brilliant. It was found by, I think, Jordi Alba. First touch was brilliant. Second one out of his feet. He just missed it, the finish, but sometimes that's the best method. But it was the movement prior to that. And that was, he'd only been on a minute and he'd already found space in the box before that. So there's things about him. The goal, the end result, the goals we talk about, but it's the other bits and bobs that if you look at, tell you that, you know, he's a remarkable young player. I mean, to bounce back as he has done, hopefully it's going to be long term now, and we're going to, as I talked about, those other young players that we have in La Liga. It's incredible that he's still only 19.
Yes. Jordi Alba got a goal, Terry, that wraps up Champions League qualification. Yeah, wonderful, wonderful volley. So important for Barca to be back in, isn't it? Just in terms of, you know, the repair to the finances, because, you know, we're genuinely looking at them not qualifying, weren't we, when Xavi came in? And the knock-on effect of that was where you're looking at the spiralling, isn't it? Because then they'd have to keep getting rid of more and more players. Yeah. And, you know, like I say, sign Puyol to come back and play for free. So it's an important achievement for them. And it's where they're at, isn't it? This is the reality of Barcelona. It's good that they're finishing top four.
Yeah, and we have to be honest. I mean, their last away defeat, I've got some notes here, was against Rayo. And that's when Koeman got the sack. Mm-hmm. That was the 27th of October. At one stage, they were ninth. They were behind Rayo Vallecano, and it was genuine. When they were in ninth position in week 13, their season was a mess. The club appeared to be a mess. It lacked direction. Clearly, it needed a change at the helm in terms of Koeman leaving. And at the time, we wasn't aware, but we thought it might be Xavi. That turned out to be true. And so I think we have to look at Xavi's achievements. Yes, he's been helped in the winter window with new players coming in. But it is beginning to look more like a Barcelona team. I wouldn't say the Barcelona of old. There's some way to go yet. There's a lot of work to be done in the summer. But to finish, I think they're going to finish second. To finish second from where he took over is a good achievement. Because that don't take it lightly. When they were nine, there was genuine... We talk about Real Sociedad team at the time that were flying. These are what they're going to get top four. We fancied Sevilla. We thought Atletico Madrid, Real Madrid. There isn't room for Barcelona to get in this, you know, into the top four. Not only were they in ninth, there was good teams ahead of them. And for them to, as I said, that was their last away defeat. We talk about the recent defeats, the Cadiz and Rayo, the Rosta Betis. I think Xavi's lost an away game in La Liga. And they've won the majority of them. So to win at Betis in this manner, what a goal. I mean, it's one that should be used for the coaching with DVDs, coaching, online tutorials in terms of hitting it, a volley with the laces, hitting it that clean. It was last kick of the game almost. It was a goal worthy of winning any football game. Great atmosphere. It was the last weekend of the Feria, and we expected goals. They took a long time coming. 75th minute, Fati comes on and scores. Up until that point, I thought it was drifting towards a 0-0, I have to be honest. Then Bartra equalises, then Alba with a glorious winner. So a massive step forward for Barcelona. They can plan now as well. With a few weeks of the season left, they can plan for Champions League football next season, which a while back didn't appear as if it would be the case this season.
Yeah. And Betis were given a guard of honour going out onto the pitch with it. They deserve it. It looks like they're going to miss out on Champions League qualification, but they've done a great job, haven't they, this season?
They have, and Pellegrini made a really good point. He said they've had some tough away games lately, but the game prior to the cup final, they lost at home to Elche, and he said that was the 3 points that probably will be costly. That's in the recent run of form. They're just going to come up short. I think I'm looking at where Atletico are now. Atletico are six above them with 3 games to go. So I think it's clear that Betis are going to miss out on Champions League football, which is a shame. But it does mean that we're going to get the same top four as last season, different order slightly. But it's I think over the course of the season, Betis have just come up short. Real Sociedad are going to come up short. Villarreal, that our fish to fry, should we say. And therefore, the top four have been able to handle European football and the domestic campaign slightly better than the other two or three clubs we're talking about.
Guard of honour at the Madrid derby, but nah, why would you? I wouldn't. it's a very Spanish thing, isn't it? The whole guard of honour thing, isn't it? It's like, you know, it doesn't happen in English football, does it? You know, I don't think. I don't think I've ever seen it happen.
Occasionally, maybe. I think.
Yeah.
But it's never in. I can't imagine Spurs doing it for Arsenal.
No.
With 2 or 3 games to go and you're fighting for something and the Arsenal haven't and they've achieved what they need to do for the season. And at the Spurs stadium or likewise Man United.
I don't know why it's a controversy. You obviously wouldn't do it. I think it's obvious to me. You know,
there's part of me thought, do it and then people don't talk about it. Get it done, 3, 4, 5 seconds. And then there's part of me thinking, I don't know if I would have, like, do you do it just to controversy or just go out and play and get on with your game of football, a job in hand? I don't think I don't think the Real Madrid players, they're not bothered.
Mm.
They're genuinely not bothered or not, whether they get
the
guard of honour.
Yeah.
They've got a league medal. They've won the title. Mm. They really, really, it's not an issue.
And Luka Jovic would be wondering what everyone's clapping him for anyway. Is he ran out onto the pitch. And Lunin. I don't know what you're clapping me for.
Bayeko.
Yeah.
No, so it is generally done in Spain that
What did you make of the game? What did you make of Real Madrid's team lineup? I mean, Carlo Ancelotti is fairly... As every year, he's fairly phlegmatic. He's going to change it around a bit in the next couple of games, and then we'll put out a strong team just before the Champions League final. Okay. Yeah, why not?
It's common sense, isn't it? Surely.
Yeah.
I think there's an element of the players, the older players, and some of the players. Old players recover differently from games. And that there was extra time. It was tense. It was physically draining, emotionally draining. So to go from Wednesday to Sunday, players will be in a different condition. And I think that was why this team was picked. And I have to be honest, I think Atletico made hard work of beating a team that didn't start with Valverde, Mondi, Modric, Vinicius, Benzema, Courtois, Carvajal and Alaba. I'm looking at the ones that played. It's only Kroos and Casemiro.
Yeah.
And the injury-stricken Militao, who I need to look up, because I think he did this against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. I'm pretty sure, I'm going to look it up, where he was having treatment 2 or 3 times with different injuries and eventually was hauled off the pitch and then played at the weekend.
Yeah,
remember
the Godfather of Soul, James City. Brown? He used to pretend he was exhausted and had to be carried off the stage, and then he'd come out and do one more encore. And that's Edo Militao.
When I saw the teams, I thought, Militao? I thought he was in danger of missing the rest of the season.
He's out of hospital, you thought.
So he was one that started. So out of the players you're looking at from the game on Wednesday night, thinking that that are not going to play or need a rest, that haven't recovered, he was the main one. But he played. They brought on some as substitutes. But I thought Atletico made hard work of it. And they only won by a penalty. So I think from Real Madrid's point of view, it was a decent performance from a makeshift team. Individuals played well, the younger players played well, and Atletico, you could see that, there was more anxiety in Atletico's performance than Real Madrid's, clearly. And at the end, Atletico were hanging on and waiting for the clock to run down, and but it's a massively important 3 points. It really is. So that's the reasons why there was apprehension and anxiety in Atletico's performance, because it was, they also, you've got to win the game. You've got to try and keep above Betis. You're trying to qualify for the Champions League. And at the same time, you're pretty much playing Real Madrid's B team. So there's pressure on you, added pressure on you from the fact that we don't beat these. We can't win a Madrid derby against a team that's missing eight of its starters. Then the criticism is going to come caving in. And their recent form has been poor. The recent results have been poor. So they're just going to scrape across the line in the top four. And it was a massive win. I thought it was a penalty, actually. I didn't think. First viewing, I wasn't sure. But when you see it, I think there's, it's just a case of knocking over, couldn't you? Between Militao and Vallejo. And there was enough there to just knock him over. It's not a trip. It's not a kick. Not an obvious push. But a player that was impeded by two Real Madrid players getting into the penalty box.
Yes, we will. We'll do a deconstruction of Atleti's season at some point. We've got plenty of time in the summer to do that. In short, can't beat teams in the relegation battle would be the shorthand version of it. But it's a confusing and messy season that they've had. That they're probably going to just about get away with Champions League qualification, which is the minimum requirement.
Villarreal, for them, massively minimum. Yeah, I mean, they won the title last year. If they didn't finish top four, with people talking about Simeone having to drastically reduce his wages, they talk about 80 million income lost by Atletico Madrid. They're talking about selling João Felix and not being able to keep the salaries of the other players. That's a huge, it's a huge result for Atletico. So nothing drastic is going to have to change. There will be changes, but nothing drastic has to change because they're not, they haven't finished in the Champions League spots.
Yeah, probably. So Villarreal 1, Sevilla 1. Let's do that one. We're slightly on the clock because I've upgraded the Zoom since that's the major pay for it to go more than 40 minutes. So normally we sit here all morning talking about Spanish football. So Villarreal, I thought they'd got the win, didn't they? Lo Celso with his first goal in La Liga. But with Bono in the box, he didn't actually score, but Koundé did in the 96th minute of the game. I've seen speculation that Lopetegui might not be around next season. You're ahead of the curve, Terry, in your Lopetegui scepticism. But it's sort of catching on a bit, isn't it, now? People are getting a bit dissatisfied with him.
Yeah, remarkably, the supporters are not happy. Remarkably, though, Monchi was attending the ferry, which is that week-long celebration in April that Sevilla have, and he was going to canvass the supporters of Sevilla while he was there. To ask them their feelings. And it's I don't know if it's a good thing, but it does show it the club is open, and maybe the recommendations of the supporters will go some way. I don't think he's hugely popular with the style of football. It has to be, he has to win, which he does by and large. He gets him in the top four. He has won a Europa League, but I think there's a breakdown between the style of play and the success of the team. And maybe in the last couple of years, maybe the Sevilla supporters think that with the club not selling players and buying well, that maybe they should have done a touch better. But they've been the closest rivals to Real Madrid this season. They've been the only team in the Liga that have challenged Real Madrid. It fell away with that massively unimpressive, unbeaten run they had where they drew eight games. So it would be harsh, but it's up for debate, I think. Bono made me laugh. He's claiming all the credit for that goal and he's nothing to do with him. He was running away and the players didn't know whether to run to Bono or to Koundé, who scored. And then Koundé was sort of running away thinking, I scored. It was me. Bono was tearing around like as if he'd planted one in the top corner. Villarreal surprised me with just the one change from the team that lost to Liverpool. So they've got a strong squad, but it wasn't used. Rulli stayed in goal. I think Chukwueze came in for Gerard Moreno and that was the only change. Gerard Moreno probably not going to play again this season. So it was tough. I'm surprised with Lo Celso's first goal. Tough result for Villarreal, but Sevilla showed their fighting spirit to claim a draw and edge themselves closer to the what is going to be a top four finish.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I will find the league table, Terry, and we will talk about the relegation battle. That'd be a good idea, wouldn't it? So, before I get the league table up and for podcast listeners.
Well, we can do Getafe quickly. They're edging closer and closer, aren't they? Another clean sheet. Drew with Betis midweek. They drew with Rayo 0-0 at home. 2-0s on the trot means they're 5 points clear. They're not safe, but with 3 games to go, 5 clear, I think we can just about declare that Getafe, unless there's something remarkable happens with all the teams below them, that Getafe have just edged towards it. So I think from Cadiz down now, I've got all the fixtures, the remaining games left, Alaves gone. But then you look at their last 3 games, and they've got to win all three. They've got Espanyol at home, Levante away, and Cadiz at home. But they were so poor at the weekend. I criticised them in the La Liga TV there. Committed 7 fouls in an entire game. Yeah. Valencia did 22. There was someone at Cadiz, 18 fouls. Now, I'm not advocating just going around kicking people to stay in the league, but you've got to be competitive. And you're playing against a team in Celta Vigo who are not very physical. So if you're Alaves and you're not very good and you're going away from home, put your foot in. You know, make some challenges. 4 in the first half, 3 fouls in the second half. And they got hammered. 4-0, and it was pathetic. Mm. No, there was nothing competitive about them. So with those 3 games left, they're all winnable, but I just can't see them doing it. Can't see them scoring goals. Can't see them winning games. So I think Alaves, Levante are running out of time. They got Real Madrid away midweek. That's going to be tough for whatever team Real Madrid put out. Alaves at home. Yep, we sounded 6 points. It probably won't be. They may well both be down by then. And they finish with Rayo away. So it's doable, unlikely.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
For Levante, but because they're playing well. Mm. I mean, their run of form, it's what he's done in recent times is, Alessio Nishi, means that he should get the chance next season.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's well above a point a game since he took over, and particularly in recent weeks. But it's going to come too late, even with 13 penalties, which is actually ridiculous in a season. And then Mallorca, we've already talked about you know, suddenly going from this home form is going to save them to getting smashed by Granada. Granada still, it's feasible. Great result for Granada. They've got good players. They should be doing better. But it's feasible. They don't pick up another point. Yeah. Looking at their fixtures, they've got Athletic Club at home. Athletic Club are going for Europe. They've got Betis away. Betis is still going to want to win their games, and that's a tough fixture. And they finish with Espanyol at home. So I think there might be a twist there. Cadiz, Real Sociedad, likewise with Cadiz, who are playing really well. Great win at the weekend. Classic goal from Negredo to set them off with 10 minutes to go. And then Sabrina and Anthony Lozano wrapping it up against the Elche team at 80 minutes. And a player sent off, Ezequiel Ponce on 66. And then kind of once the first goal went in, they caved in. Loved the goal from Ruben Sabrina, up and under from Alex Fernandez. Sabrina beats the offside trap, chases 60 yards, a total lost cause, and Badir comes out. He's outside his box and he doesn't know whether to head it, use his hands, and Sabrina just charges straight through him and wins the header and wraps up the game. But Cadiz have got 3 tough games. Got Real Sociedad away, Real Madrid at home, and then Alaves away, last game of the season. Mm. So there's some twists and turns, and I thought, right, I'm going to predict here. How many points, and I can't do it.
No, every week. Yeah,
I can't do it.
Some of them, I would say every, let's have a look, because I think some of them win every week, don't they? We've got them here, haven't we, the win? Yeah, I mean, so they have, haven't we? In this last 5 games, they've all won a game. All the bottom teams have won a game. But every team except Valencia, the only team who haven't won in 5.
Yes.
And every week, a different team from the relegation battle has won.
It's what surprised me, John. I have to be honest. I didn't think anyone was going to get near a point per game.
Yeah, yeah.
So that tells you how the managerial changes have worked at some of the clubs. All of the clubs. I think you look at Alaves, Levante, Mallorca, Granada, Cadiz. Getafe was much earlier in the season, but all those teams have changed managers. And I think, by and large, it's all had an impact. Even if it's Aguirre winning 2 home games in the last few weeks, that's a big help. Levante, Ilishi have got better. Alaves, Julio Velasquez, kind of with a win last week, and lost terrible performance this week. And Granada with Carranco, 2 draws and a win. So suddenly that I didn't think you were going to need 38 points to stay up. A point a game isn't disastrous, but it you may well need 38 points to stay up. I don't think it's going to be. Mallorca could win two out of the three. They're hard games, but you know, I'm probably looking at maybe 36, 37, so just below a point per game, which is it's going to make it close.
Just, I've just noticed that Salva Sevilla is Mallorca's top scorer with 5 goals. That sort of passed me by. How low that that tally was. That is shocking, isn't it? It's unbelievable.
I think Mariki's the second top, probably, in the end of January.
It's interesting because when he looks such a good player, Mariki, but it's hard to score goals, isn't it? It's always the question against him, isn't it? Whether he's going to get the goals because he looks really good, doesn't it? It's one more share before we go because there's a midweek round of games coming up. This is courtesy. Oh, that was FB Ref, by the way. This is the BBC. It's only it's fair to tell people who you're nicking stuff off. this is the league. The fixtures coming up. So this is the last round of games before we go into the simultaneous kickoffs, unless we get to the last day when there's stuff done, in which case they might mess them around again.
Yeah.
Good luck to the travelling fan, as ever, with La Liga. Yes, he's treated with real respect, as ever.
Oh, by the way, good mention for Sevilla's fans. I think 1,000 or so made their way on the overnight coach journey to Villarreal to celebrate the end of the feria, to give their support back into the team in an important stage of the season. So that was great. Granada was full up. Mallorca was, their stadium was full up near enough for the game against Granada. So the fan base is there. It's just, please help them somehow in the league.
Yeah, simple as that, isn't it? Yeah. So there are the fixtures for Patreons, patreon.com/LTEL. Or if you not pay and look up your own fixtures, it's another way of doing things. So Valencia, Betis, Granada versus Athletic and Barcelona against Celta Vigo are the Tuesday games. Wednesday, Alaves Espanyol, Osasuna, Getafe, Sevilla, Mallorca, Elche, Atletico. So, there's something on all the games, isn't there? Real Sociedad, Cadiz, Rayo Vallecano, Villarreal, and then Real Madrid against Levante. And just impossible to predict, isn't it? Everything is impossible to predict. Even Barcelona, Celta, you think, oh, that should be a nailed-on home win, but not the way Barca have played at home in recent
weeks.
And
Celta played really well on the weekend.
Yeah.
They did play well.
So, you know, and all of the games involving relegation battle, you're Real Sociedad, so therefore, you know, a team going for Europe against a relegation battler, they can't score a goal, Real Sociedad, in home games. Or barely score a goal at home.
They're relying on David Silva scoring headers.
Yes. And there's sort of a band of non-scoring Scandinavian strikers that they've got who also never get a goal. So we'll be back for Patreons to discuss those, because that's the way we roll these days, because they pay us, basically, Terry, isn't it? And we'll be back then for the next round of games, for a podcast for everybody. Thank you for listening. Thank you to the Patreons for your support, and enjoy your football this week.